Would you introduce yourselves, please? Starting from stage... This would be stage right if I'm looking at you.
I'm Brandon and I play drums.
I'm Josh and I play the guitar.
I'm Kieran and I sing.
I'm Andy and I play the bass.
Amazing. And okay, everybody does this recently. I'm going to hold these up in the air. At the top of your lungs, what is the name of the band?
The Sherlocks!
Now, your tour manager, Mick, told me when I said Sheffield, he said... Well, 15 miles outside of Sheffield, because it's technically Sheffield County. But we all believe that there's, you know, that Sheffield's just that downtown with the department store on the corner that everybody, you know, the famous song was about. So who wants to tell me where you're actually from?
From a little pit village, I think it was.
A pit village?
But we're not quite old enough to know the history behind all
the pits
and
stuff. But wait. What's a pit village?
Yeah, like a mining village.
All right, so 7 years, album last August, debut album, but a whole pile of singles.
I think people assume, just from looking at us, that we're not that good, because we look a bit stupid.
Wow, do you agree with that?
Yeah.
But is it meaning that you just don't have the right long hair and enough tattoos and enough weird stuff to be a rock and roll band? Is that what you're saying? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know. Is that what you're saying?
Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying that we're not like... You won't look at us and think, wow, that's a band. You'd just be like, some regular guys. And that's
just
what
a bunch of guys.
Just a bunch of guys, yeah.
Just a bunch of guys.
Nice guys.
Nice guys. Well,
sometimes.
I don't know about that yet. All right, so this thing started out as a hobby, doing covers of The Jam and The Beatles and The Stones. That was back in 2010. So where is that moment? So where it started as a hobby in 2010 and you've been, quote, at it for 7 years, I can do the brilliant math here and say that it was a hobby for a year. So where was that moment that it stopped being a hobby and you said, oh, wait a minute, maybe we'll be a band even though we don't look like a band?
Josh and Andy are brothers. Me and Brandon are brothers. These two moved house and really close to where me and Brandon live, and we started playing football and then
soccer,
footy.
I know my Manchester United. I know this stuff.
We started kicking his footy about, and then we just got bored of doing that, really, so we picked up his instruments.
It's a singles world, but it wasn't a singles world as much when you first started. A lot of bands on that have kind of made the decision not to make an album immediately, but to make singles.
We didn't want to put an album out, like, on his own little label or whatever you want to call it. We got, like, a buzz going, and we had crowd coming to his gigs, and we just wanted people to know his songs, so we just put a song out at a time. But we were, like, trying to hold his best songs back for if we got a record, like, if we got signed.
I think we were always aware that you shouldn't release your album too early as well, you know, like, we were seeing some bands around us releasing their albums too early and then just, like, dropping like flies. So we always knew not to release it until we got signed.
But how did you get, who decided to send your stuff to BBC Introducing?
Well, I think we just saw, like, I think we just thought, how do we get on radio? I think that was next step. And then we saw, like, BBC Introducing, so we just recorded a demo in his garage, like most bands, and just uploaded it.
And then who'd you hear from?
I think he's called Christian Carlisle, played it.
Right.
And then he got picked up by Steve Lamack, and he come to watch us in Tramlines, which is a Sheffield festival. And then he sent us to South by Southwest.
And you play the British Embassy. Yeah. Who signed you and how did that go down?
Infectious Records, which is part of BMG UK, and in America we're with BMG.
Were there other offers, and how did that go? How did that happen?
We seemed to go through like a patch of just playing, you know, showcases to all labels.
Have you heard of George Jurgen two? I can't say his name. Yeah, he used to be head of Radio One. He's head of Spotify now in UK. He heard one of our demos called Art of Gold, and he tweeted it and said to me, like, this band has got it, and, like, nobody were interested in us. And then after that, like, all labels just started emailing me dad, like straight away.
Did you get a lot of, hey, we'll do this for you, we'll give you this, you have to give up your publishing? What? Tell me a couple of stories there. What was the most ridiculous offer you got?
I think when you hear stories about, like, I don't know, Oasis, for example, and you might hear them being took out for meals and stuff like that, and...
You didn't get any meals?
We had none of that, like...
No meal? Wait. Any beers? Did you get a beer?
I think one...
Coffee one day with someone.
Oh, we did have a coffee.
So basically it was emails?
Rolex watches being bought for us to try and... It was just like... No deal sweeteners going off at all. Like, they were just...
So they're just assuming you were hungry and you were going to take a deal. What did Infectious do that sealed the deal?
We had a...
Come and see us live. And the main man called a marshal, like... We just, we seemed to click with him. And there were no other motive apart from he's seen us live. He's got a good... We learnt that he's got a good history of bands and wrecking people. And he just seemed genuinely interested rather than trying to get us to make money on us. He wanted to see four lads who have got... We ain't got anything really. Like, no money being pumped into us. So I think he respected that. And we just gelled with him.
What was the opposite of that? Do you remember an opposite of that? Of somebody who really, like, you knew was going to offer you nothing and still had an assumption that you were going to sign with them? Give me an example of that, because I love that stuff.
We had, like Kieran said, we went through a phase of having loads of showcases, and you have, like, chats with people, not to say any names or anything, but, like, they'll just, like, speak to you, like, really nice for, like, 2 hours, and then you just never hear anything ever again, and it's just like...
Rockfield and the famous Reverb. Now, if you were making singles, did you, and this album says recorded at Rockfield, how many singles, I know there's some of them, but how many singles are actually on the album? Are all the singles on the album? That's a pretty nifty place to do your first record, just for the Reverb alone, right? Who's the producer?
The producer's Gavin Monaghan, or Monohan, depending on how you like it. He's from Wolverhampton, near Birmingham. And we just got in touch with him because we'd done, like, a few early demos. Like, the early singles, which we put out, like, the first, second, and maybe even third single we put out, he pretty much recorded them all. And then they got re-recorded for the album, but...
Oh, so he recorded the demos originally. And how did you choose him? Did he come see you, or...?
What, for the album?
Well, even for the singles, how did you... Is it, you know...
I think we got...
We got him recommended from a good friend.
Yeah.
Have you done other things that you respected, or it was just kind of like, well, these are demos and it's a producer and he's willing to do it?
I think we just landed on his feet with him, to be honest, because we'd never really tried a real producer. And then as soon as we did one track with him, his mind was just that switched on to music. It just, like, it was just amazing, and we just thought...
So it was a good producer-band relationship. You had fun with him.
It's because the early singles we put out, they were good to get the crowd on us, like, build us fan base and stuff, but by the time we came to do the album, they didn't sound big enough. And we'd moved on, like, with his sound, and we'd all got a little bit better at playing his guitars and had a bit of direction. So when we were doing the early demos, it were all pretty much in Gavin's hands. Like, no one even knew what to do, sort of thing. So
you did the demos at Rockfield?
No, we did the demos in Gavin's studio.
And then you went to Rockfield to do the album. So did Gavin say, hey, let's go to Rockfield? Because that's a, you know, it's a treat.
We said we wanted to do, like, a residential studio so we could focus on music.
And it's a farm, so it's kind of cool, right? Yeah. It's in Wales, and it's just kind of a homey place, right? Yeah.
And Gav's old studio, where we did demos, were absolutely freezing. Like, and it went like a bit run down.
Rockfield's just a legend, you know. But did you realize how legendary? Did anybody give you, or did you know? Well, everything that came before you?
We'd already been there before. We did Will You Be There with a bloke called Dave Ehringer. And we just loved the place, so we thought we'd go and record an album there.
How important is it to you, as a band, to make it in America?
Very important. We just want to play in as many places as we can, all over the globe.
I think we've played, like, near on 2,000 gigs now since we started, and we'll probably play another 20,000 more.
What is the filter for a Sherlock song? How do you know when you're writing a song that it's a Sherlock song?
I don't know, to be honest. When it comes to writing, I just write a song and just try not to overthink it. Like, I think it... I just... Rather than try and make it sound like us, I think it'll just... It'll always sound like us while ever... I've said this before. While ever I'm singing, while ever he's drumming, and so on. Like, it'll just sound like us anyway, so...
Yeah, but there are things that are in common. They, except for the last two tracks on the album where you got a little wonky and played a little bit, they all... They supercharge at the beginning. They all are ragers.
I think, like, they're quite fierce, aren't they? Some of his tunes, I'd say, have got big choruses... Big snare.
Yeah, I mean, and it's produced that way too. This is a big record.
Just for the going into recording, we same again. We didn't really overthink it, but we just sort of said to ourselves, let's try and do a polished version of what we do live. So it's still got a live feel, but
that's a little more polished. But it's a record because it should be.
Yeah, exactly. It needs to sound a little bit better and a bit sweeter on the ears.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between.